Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Between a mix of religious beliefs, fame, and racial and gendered constraints at the time, these elements impacted how freely Tharp was able to live. As such, her continued meshing and bending of genres that laid the foundation for rock and roll allowed her to express herself in ways that were not typical of the time. Music remained a constant, providing her with a reprieve when battling oppressive circumstances. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Lenahan, I want to welcome you to this episode of our show. We are presenting our Heroes of Rock series this week, and it's a series that examines contributors to the far-reaching genre of rock. From pioneers to superstars, little-known artists to trailblazers, one thing unites these heroes. They had the rock inside them, and they found a way to let it out. Today, Sister Rosetta Tharp.
This train, the train, this train. This train is a clean train, this train. This train is a clean train. Everybody ride it in Jesus' name. This train's a clean train. This train. This train have left the station. This train. This train have left the station. This train. This train have left the station. This train takes on every nation. This train is a flea train. This train. She travels straight to the uppermost. This train. She travels straight to the uppermost. This train. She travels straight to the uppermost. Nothing can ride up but the blood wash hose, because this train is a clean train, this train.
Sister Rosetta Tharp was born Rosetta Newbin on March 20th, 1915 in Cotton Plant, Arkansas. Her parents were cotton pickers. Her mother was also a singer and a mandolin player, a deaconess missionary, and a women's speaker for the Church of God in Christ, which was founded in 1897 by Charles Harrison Mason, a black Pentecostal bishop who encouraged rhythmic musical expression, dancing in praise, and allowing women to sing and teach in church. In 1921, at about age six, Tharp had joined her mother as a regular performer in a traveling evangelical troupe. Billed as the singing and guitar-playing miracle, she accompanied her mother in performances that were part sermon and part gospel concert before audiences across the American South. By the mid-1920s, she had settled with her mother in Chicago, where they played at the Church of God in Christ there. She married Thomas Thorpe in 1934, a preacher at the church. And though the marriage only lasted a few years, she decided to adapt a version of her husband's last name as her own, thus becoming Rosetta Tharp. Her first recording session was for Decca Records in 1938. Still just 23 years old, she cut the first gospel sides recorded by Decca: Rock Me, That's All, My Man and I, and The Lonesome Road. All four were hits, establishing Tharp as an overnight sensation and one of the first commercially successful gospel recording artists. Rock Me went on to be incredibly influential, having an impact on a large swath of black performers, as well as the generation that followed them, which included people like Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard.
Thank you.
the words that I'm saying. Wash my soul with water from on high. While the world of love is around me, evil thoughts do bind me. But oh, if you leave me, I will die. You hide me in the bosom, tell the storms the life is over. Oh, rock me in the cradle of thou love. Take me to your blessed home above. Make my journey brighter. You make my burden lighter. Help me to do good wherever I can. Oh, let thou praise and thrill me.
Tharp's notoriety increased when she appeared with Cab Calloway at the Cotton Club and on John Hammond's landmark From Spirituals to Swing concert, both in 1938. By 1941, Tharp had joined Lucky Melinder's big band and toured with the band across the first half of the decade, playing the American South and theaters across the country. The band she played with included saxophones Bull Moose Jackson, Tab Smith, and Eddie Lockjaw Davis, and the pianist Sir Charles Thompson. And it was fully embracing rhythm and blues. Tharp's raw mix of gospel lyrics and stinging guitar upset many in the gospel community, as did her performances alongside jazz and blues musicians, who were viewed as profane by those in the religious community. Tharp had these opinions in mind when she went into the studio in September 1944 to record for Decca. She settled on a traditional African-American spiritual called Strange Things Happening Every Day. But she created an arrangement that featured pianist Sammy Price, a drummer, a bass player, and crucially, her own electric guitar playing. The result was a live wire of a record that still leaps out at the listener more than 80 years later.
People say they are in this holy way. There are strange things happening every day. On that last great judgment day, when they drive them all away, there are strange things happening every day. Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
There are strange things happening every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. There are strange things happening every day. If you want to view the crime, you must learn to quit your line. There are strange things happening every day. If you hew right to the line, you can live right all the time. There are strange things happening every day.
It was the first gospel record to cross over and become a hit on the Race Records charts, the term used for what later became the R&B chart, and it reached number two for the week ending May 5th, 1945. One writer observed that, quote, rock and roll was bred between the church and the nightclubs in the soul of a queer black woman in the 1940s named Sister Rosetta Tharp, end quote. Strange Things Happening Every Day is not just a song. It represents a crucial turning point in the evolution of modern music, influencing countless artists and gestures with its sound, its approach, and of course, the artist behind it. In 1946, Tharp saw Marie Knight perform at a Mahalia Jackson concert in New York City. She recognized Knight's talent and 2 weeks later invited her to go on the road. They toured the gospel circuit and recorded such hits as Up Above My Head and Gospel Train. According to Tharp's biographer Gail Wald, she and Knight were also rumored to be lovers. Another performer who impressed Tharp was Little Richard, who she heard sing before her concert at the Macon City Auditorium in Richard's hometown. She invited him on stage to sing with her, marking Richard's first public performance outside of church. Following the show, she paid him for his performance, which made a deep impression on Richard, and he claims that's what inspired him to become a performer. In 1952, Tharp and Red Foley recorded the B-side Have a Little Talk with Jesus, which is likely the first interracial duet recorded in the United States. When asked about her music and about rock and roll, Tharp, later in life, is reported to have said, "Oh, these kids in rock and roll, this is just sped up rhythm and blues. I've been doing that forever." For recognizing the power that a guitar and vocals could have on gospel lyrics and having the vision to execute the sound she heard in her head, as well as standing by music in the face of criticism from gospel fans and having a savvy eye for talent, Sister Rosetta Tharp is a hero of rock.
The natural facts that a man don't understand the good book right, and that's all. That's all. He's got to have religion now. I tell you, that's all. Now, when you see people jump from church to church, you know that their confession don't amount to much, and that's all. Yeah, that's all. They've got to have more love, more understanding every day of their lives, and that's all. People fighting one another and think they're doing swell, and all they want is your money. And you can go to war, and that's all. Well, 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 that's all. They've got to have religion now. I tell you, that's all. You can go to the college.
Rock and roll was bred between the church and the nightclubs.